Welcome to another episode of The Reducer. And wow, it's like hot on the heels of the last one. And the topic is the same, because we realised that all three of us are football fans. We've worked together on TV shows producing comedy based around football. And that seems to be the particular seam that we are best at mining. So I welcome Liverpool fan, as always. Well, as always, he's always a Liverpool fan, David Klein.
Yeah, I wax and wane a bit, but it's great to be a Liverpool fan at the moment. Thank you.
And also with us...
Can I say, just correct you on that, I'm not a fan, I'm a follower.
No, you're a supporter.
Splitting hairs.
I would say it's not a supporter either.
Not a supporter. I don't give them any money. I don't rarely see them, rarely go and see them. Let's put it this way. I'm most interested in their results when I check the scores. Does that make me a follower or a fan?
I have to say that if there's one thing that that people who listen to football podcasts are looking for, it's the opinions of somebody who's not really bothered about their club. That's definitely like that's what fans are tuning in for. And there's not a load of people like unsubscribing or stopping listening right now.
I'm not defined by their results every weekend. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to kill myself if they lose, and I don't want to sort of move to Vegas if they win.
I know what you mean. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. The earth keeps
exactly spinning. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, also, as I was just about, to introduce that. It's weird, isn't it? It's already the top two are battling it out. Yeah, Liverpool have butted in to make some points. And I've gone top temporarily, but soon to be overtaken by Manchester City fan Dave Rothney. Hello, Dave.
Thanks. Yeah, I see. I've got the later kickoff time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, having to is it more pressure having to follow Dave,
or are you? I've just got to string my sentences together, and then every day's a final. I like the way you introduced it at the top eight. You were very honest with the way you did this. That, oh, yeah, really, this is all we like talking about. We should have said, no, we've got four, because the season's so excited, we're giving over our next four podcasts to the climax of the Premiership season. But I salute your honesty. Hello.
I think it's the best route to go down, really. You know, yeah.
And as a City fan, I'm 52, so I've supported them through all of the shit time, so I am happy as a pig in shit, really. I mean, yes, I'm very kind of tense about the way the season's going to end, but really, taking a longer view, I'm just delighted to be here, owned by billionaires.
Given I'm a Leeds fan, and this weekend has put us just 1 point above the relegation zone in 17th, this for me is basically like basing a discussion over, like, you know, how big you'd like your tiara to be. It's two, you know, entitled bastards.
Just before, and I totally accept that this is how this is going to go, but before, I just want to say, just picking up on my longer view, when we first became friends, around about that period, Leeds had David O'Leary as their manager, and you were flying high with some of the greatest young players in the country. Meanwhile, City were in the second division. So, yes, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It is going to be like this. It is going to be us poking the poor. But just to say, I've been there, mate. So
I was there with you, because I do believe we celebrated your playoff win against Gillingham. In a pub where I was hugged nearly to death by a man I have never seen since. But that's...
Joe Royal. You know,
I think he was a mate of yours. But
Can I say as well, I've been there as well, or we were there for 6 months when we had Roy Hodgson in charge, so...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You flirted with mid-table. Yeah. And then Roy Hodgson came in. And then Roy wasn't any good, so you got Kenny the outdated racist in. And that didn't go very well, did it?
Oh, at least we won the League Cup. So
was that your last trophy? That was your last trophy before Klopp came in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, bloody hell. No. Bloody hell. The Milk Cup, eh? The Milk Cup, the Rumbelows Cup.
Carabao Cup.
Worthington.
Worthington.
We're just naming cups.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, so, right. Okay. Just so, like, I don't mind for once who wins the Premier League. The weird thing is that to a Leeds fan, Liverpool and City, you know, enemy of mine enemy is my friend. So, like, either one of you winning the title is pissing off Man U fans. So that's a bonus for us whilst we stare up fighting relegation. It's a bonus that we get to, like, you know, watch this. But also, I think, if I'm honest, if Liverpool win it, I'll be happy because that really pisses off Man United and you're heading after the league wins. And if City win it, I will be very happy for Pep because I really like Pep. I don't see what isn't to like about the guy. And, you know, all of the, when he first came in, can he do it in the Premier League? Ooh, first season, not very good, about fifth or something like that. Ooh, you see, he's shit, it's a myth. and then next season, just fuck it. He literally took one season to have a look around and go, oh, is this what it's like, is it? I'll be winning this next year. And then did, you know, no fucking about. Admittedly, he's overthought and basically he's overthought lineups and lost Champions Leagues by, you know, overthinking and playing the wrong lineup, which is, you know, I'm sure he'll get right one day. But either way, either side wins, I'm fine. For the record, City for the league and Liverpool for everything else.
Right, yeah. I mean, I take your point on Guardiola. I do, you know, he is the real deal, and I think people forget that in amongst all the money that we spend and the excess riches we've got. But I think people, the only reason it works, I mean, yeah, of course, the money's a massive factor, but the reason it works is because he's a proper, proper football man. You know, I mean, and if you look at his teams, they run, they tackle, they press, you know, and if you don't do any of those things, you're out of the team. In terms of likability, I mean, I love him. He's, you know, he's a legend. I mean, the thing about City is, unlike Liverpool have this great, great club that have got a huge history and have won everything.
Special club.
Yeah, we'll get onto that.
Such a special club. Well, I mean, Juventus fans don't think so, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, with City, I mean, we've come from nothing. So Guardiola's really forging, kind of creating this kind of new club, really. And I think we'll, when he goes, I think we need him to stay for 10 years, I think, in order for what he's doing to actually stick and continue, because we need generations of young players coming through. That's the serious bit. On the other side of it, the only thing, sort of thing, him and Klopp are quite funny. It's like they're like brothers, really. And Klopp is like the kind of confident older brother who's not quite as bright, and Guardiola's the younger brother who's a bit stuck with his books. He's quite passive aggressive in interviews, Guardiola, and I quite like him for that, but equally it is quite, you can see he's quite vulnerable. I mean, he hates losing, obviously he hates losing, you have to,
yeah,
but he hates losing, but he pretends he doesn't. So when we lose to like Tottenham, you know, how was it? We were fantastic today, you know, that's not true. Klopp, on the other hand, has got this great charisma, incredible. But, and the thing that gets me about Klopp, and I love him to bits, and I think he's been brilliant, but the way he beats his chest, I'm worried he's going to stick his fist through his heart one day, because he's doing it every week now. I'm just worried he's just going to take a huge chunk out of his clavicle. Not his clavicle, this bit. Yeah. And just, because he's going to kill himself, or he's just going to knock through like a builder, and he's going to reveal a Borussia Dortmund tracksuit.
I love the way Dave says that he's worried about that, as opposed to it's a fantasy of his and he hopes it happens tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't want him to die, but I mean, surely that's got to be. That's, I mean, I'm doing it now and it's hurting, but he does it every week.
Don't forget, he's at Liverpool, right? So he's got a few training kits on underneath. He's got his big puffer jacket on, hasn't he? It's your club puffer jacket.
That's what I mean. I reckon it's a Borussia Dortmund tracksuit underneath. I think it's just each club he's ever worked for. He's got mites underneath. He's like a Russian doll. So
he's got mice. He's got. Sorry, did you say he's got mice underneath?
Mice. Yeah.
He's also a qualified minister, and I have to say, as much as I have a disdain for religion, I have nothing but respect for a man who never, ever brings religion into his sport, his press conferences. You know, basically, the Lord and Jesus never get any credit for the results. And I like that. I really like that, because I always think it's really, I mean, obviously I'm an atheist, but I think it's a little bit offensive, like, you know, to your players and your squad, when the first person that, you know, gets credit for a result is, like, you know, Jesus or God, when there's people working fucking 13-hour days to get players fit. Apparently, they did fuck all.
It's always the special boys. These boys are special. That's, he always says that. He never says praise the Lord.
Yes. So I've really got a lot of time for that. And and he's laughing. He's smart. Now, one thing I want to pick up on that Rothers that Rothers said is that, like, you know, they can be tetchy and they can be a bit arsy. Pep and Klopp are exactly the same when they lose. They are elite managers. They don't lose very often. They don't like losing. And when they do, the veneer is so thin, I think, as you were saying there, Rothers. It's like you can see through what he's saying. Do you know what I mean? He's literally saying, we played fine. And he's literally going, that was shit. That was shit. Do you know? And he's like, hey, oh, Gabriel Jesus today was excellent. Subtext, that cunt's going to Arsenal. It's like, you know. But you're right. Yeah, I mean, you know, City were in a right mess. Well, not in a right mess. When Pep came along, you were no longer a horrendous mess. But when Klopp came along to Liverpool, It was a sea of mediocrity, a load of players who should never have been there, and a very average squad doing nothing. No, to be fair, that's not right, is it? Because you did finish second under Rodgers.
I think Rodgers laid some of the foundation work for Klopp. I'm not saying all of it, but there were certainly things in place. He'd started, for example, working on the academy. I mean, Klopp has come in, it's just been top to bottom. He's just addressed every aspect of it. Difference being, just to go back to Roy Hodgson, didn't want to know about the academy, not interested in it, just came in, first team, I'm going to pick the players, it's going to go through, you know, all that. No interest whatsoever in developing young players. Klopp, first and foremost, under 18s, under 23s.
Oh, yeah, but hang on. The club that Klopp walked into was not the club that Hodgson walked into. And Hodgson, fine, might not have been like, you know, he knew he was under pressure. He knew that he was a signing that a lot of people didn't agree with. So the reason why he didn't bother with youth is he knew it was all about results, because if I don't get results in the first 6 months, I probably won't be here. And that's what happened. But also, to be honest, if you're going to take over as Liverpool manager and people are kind of questioning your appointment, making your first signing Paul Konchesky is probably not the route to go down.
Not in many people now.
Yeah. I mean, just as an aside, no, Guardiola didn't inherit a mess. That's not what I'm talking about. When I was talking earlier about the way that, what I mean is that our kind of, since 2008, really, that's when our kind of rebuild started, and before that we were just a mediocre, and before that we were rubbish, whereas Liverpool have always been winning European Cups. Okay, they went 30 years without a title, but in the meantime they won, you know, Houllier, that was a successful regime, whereas we had no success. Yeah,
they did the cup treble.
With Liverpool, there's still this memory and there's that Liverpool way, whereas City, you know, we've had to build that ourselves. But yeah, I mean, we can't, in terms of who's going to win, I don't know, as Stephen Hawking said, you know, you can't predict the future. But I mean, he never played Stoke on a Wednesday night. But I don't know. I think it's impossible to say. You know, you sort of think, yeah, anybody. I mean, we could not. But I don't think any of us will lose. But I could see us drawing against Newcastle. Equally, I could see us thrashing Newcastle. Yeah. I could see us getting beat by West Ham. Equally, I could see us. But I mean, it's impossible now to say, because it's two teams just kind of seem to be bulldozing now, and they don't. But equally, anybody can lose a football match any time, and all it takes is just to be off your game. The only thing I will say is City missed too many chances still, and Liverpool don't. And that's the only, that is will be my only comment on the matter, that we could batter aside. And then, you know, Sterling gets his feet tangled up. You know, we miss a lot. I mean, Real Madrid showed that as well.
Well, there's all good points. I would, the things I would address were, that's why you went after Kane. That's why you're going after Haaland, who I think you'll almost certainly get, who is a Leeds fan. You know, born when his dad was playing for Leeds, grew up as a Leeds fan. And when he was shown round Elland Road as a youngster, when we were trying to get him to the club, true story, bit of a tangent. So Alfie Inge Haaland brings his son to Leeds, and they're going to leave Norway for a club. And he comes to Leeds and he has a look round, and it's great. And Alfie is honest with the management and basically says, look, Juventus are in for him. This is what they're going to offer. This is what he's going to pay. And this is the deal. So Victor Orta, our director of football, said, well, I've got connections at Juventus. I'll speak to Juventus. Sign for Juventus and we'll have Juve loan him to us and we'll develop him here. And they was like, oh yeah, cool. And then, but Haaland was basically like, look, that's a great idea. And if that happens, great, but it's probably not going to happen. Obviously, eventually he didn't even end up going to Juventus, but the same old tricks. He was given a Haaland Leeds United shirt with his favorite number on. I don't know the number. And they said, is there anything we can do for you? And they said, yeah, we're down. They were off to speak to one of the London clubs the following day. And he said, and you're away at QPR, aren't you? And they were like, yeah. And he said, can I have a ticket for the away end? And Alfie Inge Haaland and his son stood in the away end and watched the whole game at QPR. And when Norway played Northern Ireland, as soon as the game finished, Haaland made a beeline for Stuart Dallas to get Stuart Dallas's shirt. Guys, he's a class act on and off the pitch. He's an absolute class act. But more importantly, he's Leeds!
Yeah, a couple of things on that. First of all, I mean, I don't know about the transfer now, because did you see that Raiola died?
Yeah.
Who's the kind of Haaland's agent and the kind of super agent. So that kind of... that could, you know, have lots of ramifications. But I wanted to talk about Leeds, your point. So, obviously, you saw the game on Saturday. Well, I didn't actually. I was gigging, but I watched it on Match of the Day later. Well, I wasn't gigging. I was running around, plugging in lights and comparing and sorting out the door and, yeah, running the gig.
Yeah.
But I saw a Match of the Day. Leeds played well. What about Jesse Marsh then? What do you think, Howard? We can talk about what you like, but I just wanted to ask this question. Right. He said, the best team in the world versus the best club in the world. What do you think of that? What do you think of Jesse Marsh?
I think that's what you get when you have an American manager. You get great marketing lines like that, because it is a great line, the sweet-tongued little devil. But it's kind of like, look, I'm sure we are the greatest club in the world to him. But to be honest, the bar's not very high, you know? I think like fucking, you know, Red Bull.
Augsburg.
Yeah, Red Bull, Augsburg, Salzburg, Dickburg. Whatever, whatever club Red Bull have steamed into and destroyed lately, it's a great line. And Match of the Day didn't really do it justice, but the game was insane. I mean, it had to be stopped because the fans were throwing so much shit on the pitch. Because for some reason, our board thought it'd be a great idea to provide 16,000 fans with heavy pieces of paper to hold up, which they did. And the minute they did it, they then screwed them up and threw them where?
At Jack Grealish,
basically, yeah. So the game had to be stopped for a Bielsa-style litter pick during the game, right? And when you scored your fourth, basically most people in the stadium didn't hear it because we were singing. And we were singing and supporting our team, and you scored. The song carried on. It was literally like nobody noticed other than the City fans. And then at the end of the game, like that last 10 minutes is insane. And, you know, Jesse Marsh clearly loving it. and comes off and says that, and that's great. But there's something that just doesn't feel right about basically celebrating a 4-0 defeat. That's tough to take. And I have to say that after the weekend, everything is coming to extremely sharp focus very quickly. And all of a sudden, our run-in looks the worst of everybody. You know, we've got Arsenal and Chelsea back-to-back. Got Arsenal away, Chelsea at home. And then leaving us only two games to get any points. Possible, Brighton and Brentford. As soon as Brentford was announced as Brentford away was announced as our last game of the season, I just thought, that is not good. That is not good. We have a terrible reputation at Brentford. Even, you know, doesn't matter where they play. So, yeah, Jesse Marsh. What I think is, he's got one of the toughest jobs in football because he's come into a club where players have been strictly programmed for 3.5 years as to how to play. And he can't come in and go, this is how I do things. He has to come in and go, let's just change that a little bit. Let's just change that a little bit. And then, you know, he's going to need a transfer window. He's going to need a pre-season and a transfer window, get some players out, get some players in, but also training the players to what he wants from them. Because it's, you know, it still does look a bit Bielsa ball at times. The subtleties, there have been changes, but it is, you know, it's too early to tell. Ultimately, he's come into a firefight and he's been asked to keep us up. And, you know, it's very difficult to judge anyone in the short amount of time he's had. And up until yesterday, we were unbeaten in five, two clean sheets on the bounce. You know, so we, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, we conceded no goals in two, and then all of a sudden we've conceded four goals in three.
but
that's how it goes. That's how it goes.
It's going to be tight. I mean, he understands the fans, I think, and he gets the mentality, the Leeds mentality, which is a good kind of plus, I think. Some managers come into clubs and there's just not a fit there. But I did think when I saw Match of the Day with Roy Hodgson, did you see he was dressed in like a black suit and a black tie for the Palace game? And I thought he was attending a relegation party or his own funeral. I couldn't work out what was going on there, but I thought, Christ. So it's Norwich are down.
Yeah.
Watford, are they?
22. They're on 22 points, so a point above Norwich.
Watford set a record as well. I don't know if it's a Premier League record, but it's definitely a record for Watford losing their 11th home game on the bounce.
So Watford are 12 points from safety.
Right, so they're done. It's Leeds, Burnley, Everton.
Yeah. I think it's between Leeds and Everton myself. I think Burnley have got a bit of momentum.
It's amazing. I mean, when they announced Dyche was sacked, I was rubbing my hands going, well, hey, we're safe. But clearly, they knew that something wasn't right in that dressing room. And I think there was something happened because when they sacked Dyche, they sacked him on the Friday before the game on the Saturday. They'd had all week to sack him. If that was a predetermined sacking, you ain't doing it on a Friday, the day before the game. So something has happened and it's never come out, but something happened in that week. Something happened there whereby they went from, you know, back in Dyche in the transfer window and everything being fine. So they lost away to Norwich. But that in itself was not enough to sack Dyche. So, you know, there has been a little bit of sort of the gloves are off a bit more and players were a bit restrained and what he was doing wasn't changing and it wasn't working anymore. And I think also there was queries over his selections because Jack Cork, who scored on Saturday, wasn't playing under Dyche. And he's one of the first players to come back in and he's made a big difference. So, you know,
you're talking about your running. I think Everton have got a pretty tough running. They've got, I know they should get something from Leicester. They'll definitely be Watford. Well, I'm saying definitely, there's no definite, are there? Well, then they've got Brentford away. Sorry, home. Brentford at home, Palace at home, and then Arsenal away on the last day of the season. So it's like
safe by then.
Well, I think Arsenal will still be scrapping for four.
Well, but Dave, we've got Arsenal away, and we've got Chelsea, and we've got Brentford that like they have, except we've got them away.
Yeah, so it's going to be it's how you, obviously state the bleeding obvious. How you perform against those clubs that you've both got this.
Yeah.
So Dave, my question to you then: do you think? I mean, the way I look at your fixtures, Liverpool's fixtures, I see obviously the Tottenham game. I see as like the one. But I mean, Tottenham have got a terrible record at Anfield, haven't they?
Yeah.
But that's the only one where I think, from a City perspective, that could be, you know.
I think it's done. I was shot down by a couple of Liverpool fans saying, no, it goes to the last day. I went, well, all right then, it'll go to the last day, but City aren't going to drop any points. Simple as that.
Right. Get down the betting shop. Get some money on that. Get some money on it. Put your money where your mouth is. Come on. Easy money. Yeah. Easy money for you, son. Yeah.
I don't think Steven Gerrard's going to have something to do about this at Aston Villa. Villa City, they're going to play, you know, suddenly Gerrard's going to find an extra player probably between now and the end of the season. Klopp's going to be on the phone to him every day now. So Stephen, I mean, he didn't talk like that, but we're going to have that. I think it's going to go right to the wire, definitely.
I think it's going to go all the way to the end. I frankly don't think there's a wire involved at all. I think it's going to go right up to the very end. And I think, look, the thing is, you can go into the last day with 1 point between the teams, and then it's down to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And you know, same goes for Leeds. You know, we may well end up right down to the last 90 minutes, and if it is, we'll go down. Because that's how we roll, and there's nothing.
Oh, no.
There's nothing more Leeds. There's nothing more Leeds than having Bielsa it coming up and everyone going on about Il Loco and he's fucking mental and you don't want him at your club. Are you mad? And the minute he leaves, we get fucking relegated.
Mm.
You know, we're literally the opposite of everything that's ever happened in his career.
Well, I'm hoping that Richarlison gets a three-match ban, throwing the flare back into the fans.
He did what? He
threw a flare back. A flare was on the pitch, landed on the pitch. Yeah, exactly. And he threw it back. Yeah.
I didn't realise that he'd thrown it back. I saw him walking along with it, and you know, he's Brazilian. Just thought he was like, it's the end of the game, and he was having a carnival.
The FA are investigating, but he could have a three-match ban.
It's got to.
And he's there. You see him do it. It's not like he's like, no debate about it. He threw it into the crowd.
I thought he was vaping.
Hang on. There is something else at play here, right? Yeah. Because Wank Fathead Lampard, the no manager.
He's fun.
Yeah, he... Well, the thing with Fathead, right, is that he's still got a lot of mates in the media, so they campaign for him like that fucking piece of wood with eyes, Jake Humphries, who's just like just a horrendous human being, just like empty skin sat on a chair. We love you, Frank. We're right behind you, Frank. Is anybody thinking this is a little bit biased? Him, Ashley Cole, Joe Cole, and Rio Ferdinand, and Jake Humphries discussing how Frank Lampard's going to keep Everton up. It's just a fucking verbal circle jerk of the most disgusting levels. But anyway, Frank wrote a letter to the referees, didn't he? After they should have had a sending off a penalty against Man City. That terrible decision, because they should have had a penalty against City.
Rodri,
and they didn't get, So Frank wrote a stiff letter to the referees and the FA after that. And they came out and they apologised. And they owe Frank one. So Frank will be on the phone going, No ban. No ban. Maybe half a game. I'll let you have half a game. I'll be very interested to see. Be very interested to see how it works out. But it by rights, Richarlison, goodbye. Should be done, yeah.
And he is their only flair player.
By the way, Dave, I did want to mention that whilst you were saying champagne football, I do champagne football and all the rest of it, but the analysis on Match of the Day of your 4-0 win started with how the nil was achieved, as opposed to like how you scored 4 goals. It was about, look how solid this defence is.
Yeah.
I mean, you were three nil up and still making goal line saves. We actually played all right. At times we played some good stuff, you know, as many people have said. But you can't just be all right and at times play some good stuff against a team like Man City because you lose 4-0. But there is a case for saying with both teams, that as great as you are to watch and as wonderful as the football is that you both play, you're both two brilliant, solid defensive units.
Yeah. I think pound for pound, I think Liverpool are the better team. But I think in terms of, I mean, I fear Liverpool. But that's part of that is childhood scarring, because we just always used to get mullered by Liverpool. So Liverpool have got this kind of big sort of status in my mind. But on your day, I just think on your day when you play your absolute best and we play our absolute best, as we did the other week in the 2-2 draw, but the difference was we missed those chances. I mean, we should have beaten you that day. We played it brilliantly, but we didn't put them away. And that's the thing about when Liverpool are on their day, they score, because that's part of Liverpool. You know, that you don't miss. Liverpool seem to win one of two ways these days. They either kind of screech into a 2-0 lead after 10 minutes, or it's 0-0 after 62 minutes. And I just think, all right, it's 0-0. And I swear I'll never do this. I always say, right, check the score. I'm superstitious. I think, no, don't check the score. As soon as I check the score, 0-0, goal, Salah, 61 minutes. And then it's 1-0, and it's like, oh, we know where this is going. Oh, goal, Firmino, 75 minutes. 2-0, points in the bag, thank you very much. And that seems to be, it's just so consistent at the moment, and I just can't see. But I don't know. So, yes, champagne football. But you're right. I mean, that is testimony to the way that Guardiola coaches them. I was really impressed with that against Leeds. Leeds were great, but I was impressed with the way that we seem to, you know, chuck ourselves at the ball and defend scrappily. And that's what we've got to do for the next 4 games. But, yeah. So, Liverpool, Dave, are you pleased that Klopp signed a contract? I mean, he's Pope of Catholic.
Yeah, fantastic.
Brilliant timing as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just as Mane and Salah are, you know, wanting to have a little bit of a chat about their contracts. Oh, look, Jürgen's just signed for another 5 years.
I like the discussion with his family, and in particular his wife. And she said, "You're not done with this, are you? You're only halfway through it." So he said, "All right, okay." He said the most important contract he ever signed was with his wife, so she had a big say on it. And
how many years was that for? Did it say? The one with his wife. Does he renew his contract with his wife every 5 years? Yeah. Does he get a pay rise and an extra a new car or something? Or does he...
He gets an extra shed.
Yeah.
The thing is, and that is a really good point that Dave's mentioned there, is that I think as fans, supporters, followers, whatever you are, I think we get completely blinkered as to this player, that player, fucking hell, why don't they come? Oh, we should make more of an effort to sign them, blah, blah, blah. And I was listening to Rob Green talk, who's great. I really like Rob Green. You know, he's like most goalkeepers, he's quite intelligent. You know, they play the most stupid position and they're the most intelligent people. And he was just talking about, you cannot underestimate how much is determined in football by players, partners and families. You know, if the family's not happy, your player is not staying. That's the end of it. Doesn't matter how much money they offer. If the family are not happy, can't settle, then it's over. If the family want to stay, sign a new contract. He said, you cannot underestimate how massive a part of a role that plays in football. And it's complete, and it's the unknowns. It's the complete unknowns, you know? And he said, like, you know, look, some players, it will be about how much am I getting for this contract? With other players, it'll be, is the manager staying? With other players, it'll be like, I'm going to stay at this club because I love this club. I love playing here. And with other players, it's just absolutely completely cold. Well, if another club offers me more money, I'll go there.
Yeah.
He said, because everyone's different. So, you know, the nuances of a transfer are just, you know, so many.
Yeah. So, final few games out. Are you going to go to the Brentford game, Howard?
I would if I could get a ticket, but there's absolutely no chance of that.
So where do Brentford play now? Are they still at Griffin Park, or is it a new stadium?
No, it's the new stadium.
Yeah, where is that?
In Brentford.
Right next to the M4 in Brentford. Brilliant. There's Dave in Brentford. Awesome.
It's about
not in Shrewsbury then.
About half a mile from Griffin Park. It's not far.
Right, okay.
It's weird. I'm sure in your head you're trying to imagine where it was, where it is. It's bizarre. It's almost hidden. You can drive around that area, and only when you go between buildings do you see it and go like, "Oh, right, that's where
it is." I'll give you some of it. You know, you're coming over Kew Bridge back towards Brentford.
Yeah,
you can see the state. Well, you could. They put a load of developments up now, but it's kind of level with Kew Bridge.
So if it's over by the M4, so it could be a service station. That'd be a new
model see it.
Major for a football club. Yeah. You could just pull off. Get a cup of coffee, bag of crisps, play a video game, watch Brentford, get back on the way.
Yeah.
Brentford East. Just pulling off at Brentford East, love.
Yeah, they could have the logo at McDonald's,
yeah.
You know, Greg's football.
I'll have a sausage roll, a coffee, and 20 minutes of the first half, please.
So so what about the Champions League this week then? I mean, I think it's going to be a great game, City Real Madrid. I don't think that's done at all. It's
going to
be amazing.
Same here. I think Villarreal will play much better than they did at Anfield, but I think we should edge it.
City Liverpool final.
I think could go either. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't like to say as a glass half empty Liverpool follower. there's no certainty. So yeah. I think City won't play as badly as they did in the semi final of the FA Cup. I think they'll have some kind of.
Well, we haven't got to the final yet, but yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, yeah. So we're going to meet. So what we got this weekend? So we'll have the Champions League to talk about. We're playing Newcastle. Who have Leeds got next weekend, Howard?
Arsenal away.
Liverpool are playing
Spurs.
Well, Dave, I think you've got you've got a tough game. Rothers, you guys have got a tough game. They're both tough games.
It's the clash of the Middle East, though, isn't it? City, Newcastle.
Yes, it is indeed. Yes. Let's hope there's no half-time entertainment, involving black hoods and things like that. I know. I don't know why I said that. Well, I do know why. You're bloody owners. So
it's true.
Yeah. It is true. But we've got Arsenal away. We're going to lose that. Kleino. You're going to beat Spurs?
Don't know.
Fair enough.
Don't know. Conte is a good coach, and Spurs still need something to get the top four. I think they'll put up a fight. So maybe we'll have enough for them.
They've got a terrible record at Anfield, though, Tottenham. And is his hair real, Conte?
No.
Is that real hair or transplanted?
Well, no, it's real hair, because if it's a hair transplant, it's real hair. You can't have somebody else's hair put into your head.
I love his hair, though. I just wondered if it was still natural. But
well, no, because if you go back and look at pictures of him towards the end of his playing days, he's bald.
Ah, right.
He's bald down the middle, and he's got, you know, he's got the sort of friar tuck going on. So, yeah, they've gone to serious work on his hair, same, you know. There you go.
I do like Conte, even though they beat us at the Etihad. And it's just the joy he takes. He goes absolutely ballistic when he scores. I always like that in a manager.
Yeah. It's typical, because he's like, you get all worlds with him. So you get all that, and that's brilliant. But you also get the absolute tantrums, and like, you know,
yeah, yeah.
He's one failed transfer away from going, "Oh, fuck this," and walking out. You know what I mean? He's like, and he always said as well that he would never go to a club mid-season. Spurs is the first time he's ever been to a club mid-season, and he has actually managed to make a difference. And I think, you know, with a pre-season behind them, the really interesting one for me in the close season will be Conte stays at Spurs. What happens to Harry Kane? Because City don't need him anymore, and it's a real shame because he was the ultimate perfect Pep signing. Because basically you've got a number nine who can also play as a false number nine. He's perfect for Pep, but it's going to be Haaland instead. Does Harry still want to leave? Is he going to do anything under Conte, or are Man United going to come in for him? Is Erik ten Hag going to sign off on that? And if so, would Kane go to Man U? Are they a better option for trophies next season than Spurs under Conte? There's a lot there.
Yeah, it's true.
A lot of questions to ask. I've got off track there. Total tangent. Do apologise. Thank you very much, lads. Let's meet up next week when we will discuss next week's fixtures, and I will complain about us getting battered by Arsenal.
Okay, look forward to it, mate.
Okay. Cheers. Nice to see you.
See ya.
Bye-bye. See ya.